Welcome to the pre-conference orientation call presented by the Board Conference Support Committee. This is one of two calls organized for new General Service Representatives, GSRs, and Intergroup Service Representatives, ISRs, who will be attending the World Service Conference, the WSC. We love our acronyms. Note that the deadline is today, June 21st, for applications for the John H. Scholarship to financially support GSRs and ISRs to attend the WSC. These calls are open to any DA member. Our speakers have all attended a World Service Conference and served on committees or caucuses throughout the remainder of the year. At the conference, every GSR and ISR will join a committee and a possible caucus to do the work of the fellowship. While GSRs and ISRs serve on WSC committees and caucuses, and again, WSC stands for World Service Conference, there are also GSB committees for the General Service Board. Please note that any DA member can apply to serve on a GS committee as an appointed committee member, ACM, or project contributor without attending the conference. Please visit debtorsanonymous.org/service to find out more information about serving in this capacity. Today, we will hear from representatives of each of the WSC committees and caucuses. There are 10 committees and 3 caucuses, and they will have 4 minutes each to tell you about what they do and what were a few of the important projects they've worked on during the past conference year in order to help new GSRs and ISRs decide where they would like to be of service and to provide the entire fellowship with an opportunity to learn more about World Service. More information about WSC committees and caucuses can be found on the DA website at debtorsanonymous.org/WSC. We're at the World Service Conference drop-down page on the menu. This is the first time we've had our chairs share like this for a fellowship-wide call, so it's pretty exciting. Our first speaker today is going to be Michelle from Virginia, and Michelle is chair of the WSC Business Debtors Anonymous Committee. Michelle, you have a total of 4 minutes with a one-minute warning, and Matthew will be timing. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The BDA committee is a committee that focuses on the issues specific to DA members who own or operate businesses or who are self-employed or simply have a desire to own their own business at some point. I want to make it clear that in order to be on this committee, you do not at all need to be a business owner to be on this committee. This is the second year I've been on this committee. Last year I was the secretary. This year I am the chair, and we average about 8 to 10 people. And our committee mainly focuses on drafting responses to issues and concerns relating to DBA, or that is to say, questions or letters that people write into the fellowship with BDA-related concerns. We also put on fellowship-wide calls regarding BDA topics with experience, strength, and hope from BDA members. For example, next Sunday at 2, we have a call on developing and expanding your abundant vision, and we'll have 3 BDA members share their experience, strength, and hope with that. And we also focus on collecting stories for both the DA newsletter, The Ways and Means, as well as the basic text that is currently being written, and also we're hoping to develop a book like A Currency of Hope that will only have stories of BDA stories. The concept for that book was approved last year in the 2019 conference. I will add that this committee may also review any BDA-related literature that has been drafted and is in the process of review, such as a BDA pamphlet or a step study guide. So, for example, we're currently reviewing the BDA step study guide that is in review. And what I'm especially proud to announce for this year is that the committee focused on something new, creating a BDA retreat. We had a very, very dedicated subcommittee that put in tremendous work into creating a retreat with BDA workshops. And with only 8 months, they found a space in New Orleans to hold it. They found a chef to cater it. They found an ecstatic dance teacher to lead the session. Several people registered, but then COVID hit, so they had to cancel. But they created a template that can be followed to run another retreat like this. They created, for example, a template invitation, a spreadsheet to track registration, a sample flow of workshop topics, etc. We're really hoping that next year's committee chooses to take advantage of the work that they've done and to put on a retreat. And that's all I've got. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks so much, Michelle. Our next speaker is Tracy from New York, and Tracy's chair of the WSC Conference Committee. And Tracy, you also have a total of 4 minutes with a one-minute warning. Tracy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, I'm Tracy. I'm a compulsive debtor, and I'm chair of the World Service Conference Committee, and I'm also on the vice chair of the International Caucus/Committee. So the Conference Committee is concerned with the general nature of the World Service Conference, and we have kind of four areas that we look at. The first of them is the charter of the World Service Conference. As you may know, and as stated in our charter, the General Service Conference of DA is the guardian of world services and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of DA. We address matters affecting DA as a whole. However, the charter defines us as a service body only, never a governing body. The Conference Committee puts forth motions to modify the charter. Last year, we actually did a full review of the charter and suggested some minor edits and one major adjustment to reflect what we were actually doing at conference. And we brought to the conference, we formally included one DA staff member as a full voting member of the convocation. And then the next sort of area that we look at is issues related to the format of the annual World Service Conference of Debtors Anonymous. In general, this might mean length and timing of committee and caucus meetings. For example, the International Committee is now, caucus is now a committee, so we were looking at distribution possibly of different timings of things, including presentations and fellowship day, to make sure we have time to get the work of the conference done and get as much participation as we can. This year, of course, because of the pandemic and out of necessity, we had to scramble and rejig the format for a virtual conference. We also continue to experiment with remote participation and looking at ways for smaller groups to participate. We had a subcommittee on that last topic and got a line added to the registration packet to have other groups that may be supporting a delegate have their group members listed, their group's numbers listed as being included. And then for me, the absolute best and most rewarding part of the conference committee is work with the chair of the host committee. We provide feedback based on our collective experience in attending several conferences, but really it's just watching the local DA members who bring, you know, enthusiasm and new ideas and put in hours and hours of work. It's an absolute joy to witness that service. And then finally, we look at conference bids and make recommendations for future sites of the conference. We look at pricing, hotel arrangements, the number of breakout rooms, closeness to a transportation hub, geographic distribution. And we bring our recommendation to the full conference for approval. It looks like there will be a bid for the 2022 conference to be held in London. Thank you. 1 minute. Which is very exciting. And we usually have, I've been on it 2 years, and we've had six members, I think. And I really hope you'll consider joining our committee. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Tracy. Our next speaker is Rhody from New York, and Rhody's chair of the WSC Fellowship Communications Committee. Rhody, 4 minutes, 1 minute warning. Are you there?
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Tom. Hello, my name is Rhody. I'm a debtor and the Fellowship Communications Committee Chair, and I also serve in the International Caucus. I'm completing my second year as GSR for New York City's Creating Your Vision Sunday meeting. I've divided this presentation into four sections. The first one, what is the FCC? Our DAM states, the Fellowship Communications Committee facilitates communication and promotes collaboration among the debtor who still suffers, the Debtors Anonymous membership, the World Service Conference committees and caucuses, the General Service Board, and oversee sponsor a group. Our committee also facilitates quarterly meetings with the chairs of our committees and caucuses. Two, how we establish this year's program. Last August at LA's World Service Conference, we were able to hear committees and caucus reports and walk into the rooms assigned to each of them for a whole day before making a decision on which to join. I knew I wanted to return to the FCC and was fortunate to meet in its room FCC's former chair, who was serving for a third year in the committee, and our board liaison. Six new members joined us from four different cities, LA, San Francisco, New York, and Montreal. And for two long days, we met and brainstormed ideas. At the conference, we also elected our officers and defined our theme as Together We Get Better. With our theme in mind, the idea of DA's International Promise 6 Day was born. We presented this as a motion at convocation. It was approved to take place annually on the fourth Saturday in April. It was a success with virtual gatherings held all over the world. We formed these subcommittees too. Promise 6 Day, Sponsor a Group, and 2020 second quarter's edition of our Ways and Means. Number three, what we did and how we did it. We met the second Tuesday of every month and answered issues and concerns, looked at and discussed the recommendations we received at the conference, reviewed the subcommittee's reports, and attended to new business. For example, Sponsor a Group continues to be essential to reaching the sick and suffering debtor. COVID-19 handed us a silver lining, the Zoom meetings. We also were able to work closely with the International Caucus. This year it becomes a committee. And with the UUOC, Underserved/Underrepresented Outreach Caucus, listening to the European Caucus members' needs and concerns, and the Spanish-speaking community, giving us a glimpse at our service as a committee. We also worked hard to gather resources from the individual member for the Ways and Means edition, now in your inbox today. Number four, what we'd like to pass along. The new traffic generated this year due to home sheltering imposed by COVID-19 and our need to connect showed us how essential GSRs are for world service level. Thank you, Matthew. Today, technology can help us reach the debtor who still suffers in remote places. DA's new website, Zoom meetings, translations, literature available online, the free conference phone line, and e-newsletters are there waiting to be accessed, and the FCC can play a crucial role in this process. We need to increase the number of our fellows participating in the committee, however, so please join us next year. I would like to thank the fellows who made this such a great year, Alexia, Amina, Anne, Bert, Nicole, Vivian, and Tom, our board liaison. It has been a pleasure working with you, and I'm grateful for your loving service. And I pass. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Rhody. Our next speaker is going to be Yannick from Los Angeles, and she's chair of the WSC Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons Committee, also known as HIP. Yannick, you have a total of 4 minutes with a one-minute warning. Are you there? I know there was a possibility that someone might be filling in for her. Are you there, Vice Chair? Okay. And I also
Tom,
know that we, yeah.
Piper is on the line. Yeah, Piper's on the line, and it's not her job, and I'm flinging it at her, but she knows a lot about it from doing work on HIP. Maybe she'll pitch it.
Okay, great. Let me just go ahead and read the statement in the dams, and then Piper, if you could tell us some of the projects you worked on, that would be great. So Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons
sure.
Committee, HIP. Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons Committee carries the message of DA to the debtor who still suffers within hospitals, institutions, and prison systems. HIP Committee utilizes the Debtors Anonymous HIP Starter Kit and other DA service literature available to the entire DA fellowship as a tool for outreach efforts and supports and trains HIP representatives at the local level as guided by the 12 traditions of Debtors Anonymous. Piper, you have 4 minutes.
Hi, guys. Thanks. I'm Piper. I'm a recovering debtor. I was not prepared to do this, so bear with me. I think one of the most exciting things that I've been involved with in HIP is that we brought a panel to a Zoom panel to Claire Women's Recovery Facility in Santa Monica. There were three of us on the panel. Unfortunately, no one from the facility joined us, but it was a really vital panel. The speakers were wonderful, and we look forward to more serving more facilities with DA panels because it went so well. So what else? Literature has been sent to all of our committee members, and all of us are working hard to get it to different institutions and, you know, just carrying the message, doing what our mission statement says in these very unusual times. I haven't been able to drop literature to one of the jails that I go to, but, you know, we're all doing the best we can. We got a wonderful donation of literature for this committee, and people are taking it to the places that are able to accept it right now. Kathleen, I'm sure you have more information for things that different things that people have done.
Okay. I'll just jump in real quick. Yeah, that Zoom panel was incredible because it was like a dress rehearsal, and now we see how the message can be carried in a way almost easier with Zoom. So we can have team members from anywhere in the world jump on it, and it's going to be an incredible tool. And then we also have International HIP Awareness Day coming up in July, so you'll be seeing information about that. And that came out of, that's been existing already, but that came out of a need that a lot of people in DA didn't even know we had HIP, which is hospitals, institutions, and prisons. And what a lot of people don't realize is institutions cover things like temples, churches, universities. It's so wide-reaching, so we ask people to think about for International HIP Awareness Day, think in your community where you might like to go to carry the message and give back. And on that day in the past, we've had people like team up and go to like a homeless shelter or a hospital or something and reach out. And now this year we can just do it. If we can't do it in person, we'll do it through emails. But it's really powerful kind of grassroots way of giving back to our communities. We also, people on the HIP caucus passed the HIP can to collect for literature. And also we've been doing some reach out work in.
Hello,
like,
Tom?
Hello?
Hello?
Hang on one second. Hang on. We're in the middle. Hello? Sorry, sweetie.
One
Hello?
Sec. Yannick? Hi, Yannick. One sec. Let Kathleen finish
sorry.
Up then.
Okay.
So then you can win.
I'll just wrap this up then if that's unique. And then, like, going into the hospitals and, you know, trying to get copies of, like, a currency of
You
hope,
have 1 minute.
A currency of hope into the psychiatric units and financial aid offices reaching out. Go ahead, Yannick. I'll step in.
Yeah. I am so sorry. I guess my thing was mute. Well, for the newcomers that's interested in HIP, what really got me, I was really new. I didn't know anything about the committees and the caucuses. And I just love the fact that me being black, I don't have any family, any friends that was in DA. And it was a passion of mine to really bring send the message, you know, let people know no matter where they are, like they said, hospital, institution, whatever it is, whatever that institution, even right now with the pandemic, people being highly affected financially. So whatever organization, churches, you know, like clinics, anything that could help, that will serve you, that could serve somebody that people like have access to, we could give it to that. What I've done is I go to clinics and I bring literature and pamphlets, you know, and for the doctors to pass it out. And because they have access to patients and people like in the community, so they are able to do that. So if you have a passion to help people, definitely this committee will really help you. I'm really sorry. I guess my phone wasn't working. I keep saying hello, 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 but it was, I don't know. But thank you for allowing me to your service.
Thank you so much, Yannick, and thank you, Piper and Kathleen. And it's great to see the way members jump in and support each other. So our next speaker is Paul. Minnesota, and Pat is the chair of the WSC Internal Operations Committee. Pat, 4 minutes with a 1 minute warning. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for the introduction. My name is Pat, and I'm the current chair of the Internal Operations Committee, and this is the end of my third year. And the IOC's primary responsibility is to support the General Service Office, and we frequently interface with other committees and the GSB. And the office is currently located in Needham, Massachusetts, in a basement office of 442 square feet, plus a 169-square-foot storage room down the hall. And this past year, we have been working to make the current office more livable and working on the ergonomics and layout of the office itself. And if your skill set happens to include ergonomics and working with other committees and teams and enlisting cross-functional support, this might be for you. And it's an exciting time to join the IOC as we focus on the future of the General Service Office and its capability to support our intensely membered and developing worldwide fellowship. The current lease in Needham runs through October of 2022, and the IOC, an office committee of the General Service Board, and the Ad Hoc Committee are exploring possibilities for relocating the General Service Office and expanding it to better serve the fellowship. So if your skill set includes any of the following skill sets, that would be great. Project management, construction trades, real estate, interior design, architecture, engineering, or corporate relocation, maybe this is the great place for you. If your skill set includes fundraising campaigns, we're working with other DA committees in the GSB to gain additional support and identify internal funding from DA members for the relocation. Now, as far as archives, if your skill set includes archiving, library, cataloging, or document and artifact preservation, we could use your skills. And as far as office procedures, if your skill set includes human resources, the writing of manuals, or have abilities in volunteer recruitment, we are updating the office manual, HR and job description manual, volunteer or training manual, and possibly taking a look at reviewing the quantity and number of employees needed and other such documentation. And as you can see, this committee has many areas of focus, and the committee may consider separating some of this into two or more committees so that they can concentrate better and get more things done. And with that, I will pass.
Great. Thanks so much, Pat. Our next speaker is Amina from San Francisco, and Amina's chair of the WSC International Committee. Amina, you have 4 minutes, 1 minute warning. Are you there? Amina, can't hear you. Are you on the call? We just talked last night.
Tom, this is Tracy. You might just remind people to *6 if they don't know that, and also after the speakers speak, if they mute themselves again. I just noticed some background noise.
Yeah, thanks, Tracy.
An international speaker, I can do it.
Great. Amina, if you press *6, you can talk. Are you there? Tracy, I'm going to take you up on that. First, I'm just going to read the description in the DAMS. It's pretty short. So the International Committee, created by the action of the 2011 World Service Conference, the International Caucasus mission is to exchange information and develop initiatives to support the growth of DA internationally. And then this year, they become a committee, which means they can present motions at the conference. Tracy, if you would please talk about the projects this year. You have 4 minutes with a one-minute warning.
Okay. Hi, I'm Tracy. I'm a compulsive debtor and vice chair of the International Caucus, which has become a committee, will be a committee at this year's conference. With Amina as a leadership, we had a wonderful committee this year with a lot of people doing a lot of hard work bringing. Really, the main thing that I think we accomplished this year was really getting connected with our fellowship worldwide through intergroups in Europe and in other places. We had a listening call. We've had two listening calls with the European intergroup, and that included I think a member from Kenya, and various members were welcomed onto that call, and it was just really listening to what their concerns are, trying to get them to feel more connected to the World Service Conference as a whole, and then actually doing some, you know, on the ground, brainstorming, that's the word I'm looking for, brainstorming of solutions to, for instance, the Kenyans really needed a way to get some literature to help them support their local group. And I mean, there were a couple of other brainstorming things that we did. We did also have international calls with speakers from around the world sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And one of those was for the first time in another language. It was in Spanish, and it was, you know, it was a great success. And the people calling into that were very excited to be able to hear the message in their own language. And what else did we do? We worked in conjunction with the tech committee. One of our members was also on the tech committee. Peter, and came up with a way of being able to translate the website or make it available on the website for literature to be translated easily. And we'll be bringing that forward as a suggestion and a way to, you know, get more translation out there. And one of the things we're highly aware of is that we want to make sure that that DA is accessible in all languages, but also bringing in kind of remote people. Having a virtual conference this year is a wonderful way, as somebody else mentioned, silver lining, to allow participants from different countries. We have somebody from Russia and Brazil, you know, countries that have not participated before that are going to be able to participate at this year's conference. We have in the past, I was on it before, we were developing kind of a list of, 1 minute, is that? Thank you, Matthew. A way that we could help facilitate working with the other committee involved with it, you know, in supporting sponsor a group or connecting people if they don't really want sponsor a group, they want really a sponsor in a way to connect other DA members to service PRGs and press release groups and service people from around the world in areas where there might only be one member. So there's just a lot of exciting things that are going on in the International Caucus. And we had great participation from Jean, Bert, Peter, I'm going to forget people, Amina, of course. I know there's one other. It's not coming to me. So sorry, whoever I left out. Our liaison, Josie, board liaison, Josie.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tracy. Appreciate you filling in. Okay, our next speaker is Kurt from Chicago, and Kurt is chair of the WSC Literature Committee. Kurt, you have 4 minutes, 1 minute warning. Kurt, are you there? Kurt, if you press *6, you should be able to unmute.
How
about you're
now?
On the call. Yep, great. Thanks.
Yeah, great. Okay. Hi, I'm Kurt from Chicago, as mentioned, and I am a debtor and a business owner. My home group is the 9 o'clock Streeterville downtown Chicago meeting and the 10:30 BDA meeting. So I have two home groups. And I, as mentioned, I'm the chair of the Literature Committee, affectionately known as LitCom. I'm serving the second year on that committee. My prior experience at World Service included the Fellowship Communications. I did a year with the Public Information. I was on the Intergroup Caucus and a couple of years on BDA. Plus, I've been on the host committee for Chicago. This will be my last year serving in the World Service Conference. So with that, I think there's a couple of really good resources in the DA Manual of Service. If you haven't had a chance to download it, please do, because number one, it's going to recap all of what you've heard today in terms of the missions But let me read the mission for literature. It's kind of paraphrased. DA conference-approved literature begins with the literature committee. Members participate in all levels of the literature creative process, including generating ideas for new DA literature, working closely with members of literature services, reviewing drafts of literature and process given to them at the conference, approving final drafts of DA literature, which we're in the process of doing as we speak, and bringing motions to approve drafts of literature to convocation to become conference-approved literature. All of those things in one form or another we have done this year. There are 19 folks on my committee. We have 8 different subcommittees, and so those 19 people are serving on, in some cases, several different subcommittees that revolve around these literature concepts. By saying we're a part of the literature creation process, if you go to page 99 of the DA Manual of Service, I think it's 99, somewhere in that neighborhood, you're going to find the literature approval process. It's a little like a salmon swimming upstream. It takes a lot of review, approval, consideration in order to get a piece of literature approved and printed and out. But where it starts is really interesting. It starts with the concept, and the concepts we get this particular year, we got them from a couple of different sources. We got them from people who were sharing during an open mic process that we had in this year's convocation, and were sharing ideas at the open mic. We also got a lot of material from the issues and concerns that were submitted by the fellowship, people suggesting certain things or raising problems that seem to need to be addressed. So we brought 7 concepts in 2019 for approval. All 7 were approved. Thank you. Retirement, relapse and recovery, action plan, dealing with prosperity, what is solvency, DA voices from the Black community, and earning. All of those were approved. So, if we need to, we, you know, first of all, we have a monthly LitCom meeting, then the subcommittee meetings also happen. And if we need to, we reach out to other committees in order to get their input. And we've crowdsourced this year the DA Voices from the Black community in order to make sure that we're getting input from a wider audience than what is represented within our committee. So we end up reviewing, approving drafts, and things have been moving along this year. It's been incredible service with incredible people. You don't have to be a writer to do this. I mean, writers are good at isolation, so we've been good during the pandemic, but
time.
We also work well with other people. So thanks a lot, and I hope many people sign up.
Great. Thanks so much, Kurt. And that reminds me, for GSRs and ISRs, if you want to read the committee and caucus descriptions, they're on page 81 of the DAMS, and you can always find the DAMS at debtorsanonymous.org/DAMS, D-A-M-S. Okay, our next speaker is Sean from Ireland, and Sean is chair of the WSC Public Information Committee. Sean, you have a total of 4 minutes, 1 minute warning. Sean, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep. Thanks.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me on the call. My name is Sean. I'm a compulsive debtor from Ireland, and I'm chair of the PI committee. This is my first year serving on the World Service. The purpose of the Public Information Committee is to carry the message of DA to the still suffering debtor by interacting with the media, helping professionals and the general public and the DA fellowship at large. This year, we've focused not only on supporting PI in the fellowship as a whole, but also in our local areas. We've come back and we've compared stories about how we've done that, and we've enriched each other and the fellowship as a whole in terms of PI. One of the backbone of our work is the PI manual, which one of our global work that we've done this year is to revise the PI manual. So the Debtors Anonymous Public Information Manual with 2020 revisions as submitted by the World Service Public Information Committee was distributed to the GSB Public Information Committee on April the 6th for review. So that's currently under review, and they will be comparing that with the 2013 version. So hopefully that revised version will come out soon. We have two subcommittees. One is the Subcommittee for PI and Rep Training, and the other is the Fellowship-Wide Call Subcommittee. So in terms of PI outreach, many of the outreach actions were carried out by members during the quarter, including organising special focus groups, speaking about DA at organised events, and outreach to radio and TV stations. Members brought their outreach to their local areas and reported back to the committee. Our attitude is that we are the face of DA, and it is up to us to see opportunities for reaching out to the debtor who still suffers. Members have done things like leave cards at pet stores or grocery stores, and we like to spread the message that it's not just up to PI reps, but also the responsibility of each individual member to carry the message. Some examples of some of the outreach opportunities taken up by some of our members. During the COVID-19 epidemic, one of our members saw a post on a radio station, or a TV station actually, that said that AA was hosting Zoom meetings. So she immediately phoned the television station and said, you know, here's a tip. We exist too. DA is also here. Another member reached out to an organisation called the Bankruptcy Trustee Committee to spread the word about DA and the possibility of having a DA presence at one of their conferences is being explored. Obviously, that's on hold because of the current pandemic. In my own local area, I reached out to several community radio stations during the year, twice, once late in last year and once just recently, in terms of updating them with information on Zoom meetings that are available to people all around the country in remote areas, as long as they have an internet and telephone connection, which is one of the benefits of what's happening in the world at the moment in terms of access to meetings. I've also reached out to the Suicide Prevention Services. They have one of the main organisations here, the Samaritans, has agreed to promote DA among clients who phone in and who have money problems. Roger in Canada reached out to the 211 emergency website there and also to a website in Ontario that feeds into other helping professionals such as counsellors, therapists, spreading the word about DA. He also noted there's a huge increase in attendance at the Canada meetings now that are being held on Zoom. So he's spread the word about that, and this has been a great resource to many members worldwide who've used that. You know, it's a Eastern time zone, so it's accessible to a lot of people around the world. And so it's also brought DA to members in places where DA does not exist. The PI committee hosted three fellowship-wide calls this year. The first one was the Public Information Representative Training, which was held on June the 7th. And that was in relation to new projects gathering insights on reaching out to debtors that still suffer. Individuals shared their public outreach experiences in using creative ways to carry the message to people about DA. This call was open to all DA members who wish to carry out PI work in their local areas or beyond. The call is available to listen to again on the website. Listening to the call retrospectively counts as having done the PI training. Some of our members that were the speakers on the call spoke about their focus groups, which were held in Seattle for the LGBTX community and with the coloured community. Matt Kay report on a project called From Calamity to Serenity, which used Zoom meetings, breakout rooms, and other people spoke about their experience, strength, and hope of using some of the resources they have used in public information. As usual, with all the calls, there's a half an hour afterwards for questions and answers. Our second call was the PI media contact training, which took place in May, on the 2nd of May. And the purpose of this call was to train DA members who may wish to respond to inquiries from the media about DA training. And it's open to all DA members, both those who wish to learn how to respond to requests to the media for information about DA and members who would like to learn more about how to discuss DA with people outside the fellowship. Our third one, the earliest one, was the outreach during COVID-19 DA Local Action and Global Impact call, which took place on April 19th. Individuals shared their public outreach experiences in these challenging times. And we had four speakers from around the world. We had Roger from Canada, Shalini from South Africa, and Maya from, and Jerry from the USA. All shared their experience, strength, and hope. And afterwards, callers were given the opportunity to ask questions.
Time.
The focus was on how... is that time? Okay. Can I just mention that our last meeting is focusing on being upstairs at a higher level GSR with a pitch to becoming a GSR so you can serve on the PI committee. That is our last PI meeting on June the 26th. So I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Sean. And if you want to listen to recordings, they're at debtorsanonymous.org/podcasts, and then just navigate to the 2019 to 2020 World Service recordings. Okay, our next speaker is Diana from New York, and Diana's chair of the WSC Resource Development Committee. Diana, you have 4 minutes, 1 minute warning. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I have a kind of a heavy breathing pug nearby, so I'm apologizing in advance for a little bit of that. But I'm so thrilled to be on this call, and I also have to say thank you to all of the other chairs, because in listening, I'm so blown away by what everybody is doing. So, Resource Development Committee. We are and have ranged from 4 to 7 members strong. So I want to say a quick shout out and a happy Father's Day to Mike and Barbara and Celia and Tom R., our liaison, and Lynn from L.A. It's been quite a powerful year for us. Just a little bit of background on what the mission of Resource Development Committee is, because people have come up to me and been somewhat confused as to what we do. So if you read the DAMS, we have a 3-pronged set of priorities, if you will. One is to increase Seventh Tradition contributions and clarify the use of the funds that the fellowship takes in. The second is to encourage membership participation at service. Three is to increase awareness within the DA fellowship about the importance of self-support in DA at the group, intergroup, and world service level. And that really sort of echoes back to Promise 7, which is there's Promise 7, but there's also Tradition 7, which is we are self-supporting organizations. But in the Promise area, we give as we receive, and that is part of the set of joy, I call them joy gifts, that we get from being in fellowship. So what does that really mean? Well, in the context of looking at Seventh Tradition contributions, what that means is we take a hard look every month at what is going on with the financial profile of the entire fellowship. So although we keep an eye on maybe literature sales and what have you, but we're really looking at contributions 1 year to the next. And so one of the things we did 2 years ago is we took a hard look at self-support in the context of trusts and estates and wills, and we increased what was the contribution level that the fellowship might accept with board approval from someone who was moving on to the next plane of existence. And then the second year I was part of this, we took a look at what was going on and what our policies were as a fellowship with respect to gifts that were coming in from various trusts, which were from fellows, yes, but who had passed away, their money was being managed by a trust, and that trust was gifting resources to the organization, and we just wanted to be clear about what that amount should be and when we're sort of going outside the tradition of self-support. We've taken a look and encouraged the fellowship to create, at the time we started, or I started being involved, the fellowship was pulling out of its prudent reserve to kind of keep itself running. Thank you. And so we asked the fellowship to put together an ideal spending plan and look at what it would look like if they were thriving and how would they use resources in the context of that. So that's the sort of like the first prong. The second prong is looking at service and how fellowship resources can be enhanced. And for this recent year, we were looking at the tool of sponsorship and encouraging more people. You know, there seems to be a thirst for sponsors and not enough sponsors, or maybe people willing to sponsor but don't really know how to outreach in that way. So we've had a series of worldwide calls on being a sponsor, seeking a sponsor, what that looks like and how it strengthens your program. And then awareness within the fellowship about the importance of self-support. We take a look at some things that have to do with encouraging people to up their, contribute in different ways, like the online contribution button for the for U.S. debit cards and for perhaps individuals giving on a monthly basis or before tax time. So this is the universe we travel in, and anybody that wants to join, we'd love to have you. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Diana. Our next speaker is Julie from British Columbia, Canada, and Julie's chair of the WSC Technology Committee. And Julie, you have a total of 4 minutes, 1 minute warning. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can I be heard?
Yep, thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tom. Hi, everyone. My name is Julie, and I'm a debtor. And for the 2019-2020 year, I served as chair on the Tech Committee, my first year as a chair. I also serve on the UUOC, and this is the end of my third year as a GSR. So I'll just read the Tech Committee blurb. So the Tech Committee is composed of delegates who have experience with and or interest in leveraging technology to grow DA. The Tech Committee focuses on harnessing technology to improve access to DA's resources, facilitate communication within DA, and reach out to the debtor who still suffers. The committee advises the conference and the GSB, as well as providing hands-on technical expertise where applicable. We also work with the GSR branch of, or the World Service, the board tech group as well, quite a bit. So we answer issues and concerns from the previous World Service Conference. And this year we had 10 amazing members serving on our committee, so shout out to them. And we also work with a board liaison and a project contributor. So it was definitely an interesting year for TechCom, with the fellowship primarily moving to the virtual world with the pandemic. And so we found that it was, just kind of our needs shifted a little bit, and that affected us a bit, of course. But we really hit the ground running, and we know that a year can go very quickly, so we tried to move as quickly through our projects. The two main projects that we were working on were upgrading the website, and the other project was upgrading the computers at the head office. They hadn't... I don't think they had been replaced in several years, so we wanted to make sure that there was more current technology to manage the needs of the fellowship. So we were able to complete those two projects, and we're very excited to have this new website that I think is a bit more user-friendly, and we were able to add maps working with the UUOC to the website. We're continuing to work on the translation part of the website that started, as the International Committee mentioned, and we're still in the process of that. I just want to say a big thanks to everyone on the team this year. There's a lot of great support and experience and expertise on the team, and that was crucial to bringing these projects. Some of them had been in the works for years before. Of course, you're coming into to a committee or caucus, you know, building on the work that's been leading up to it.
1 minute.
And thank you. 1 minute. So it's important to kind of keep that momentum going, so we were able to ride that and finish these projects. 17 new pamphlets have been added to Kindle and Amazon as well, which is great. We were involved somewhat in that, but that was a big part of the board too, so thank you for that. And so while serving on this committee, while it's not necessary to have tech experience, it's certainly helpful. If you have some familiarity with websites and online working. But we, like I said, we did work with a project contributor for most of the year, and that really helped us. He's doing a lot of work on the behind-the-scenes work with the website. So I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for allowing me to be of service, and it's a great opportunity to grow in my DA growth. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Julie. And before we move on to the caucuses, I just want to say those are the 10 committees. Each GSR and ISR is required to join one of these committees to work on throughout the year. Okay, so now we have the three caucuses, and we're going to speak first with Roger H. from Ontario, Canada, and he is the chair. He's a member of the WSC Intergroup Caucus. Roger, 4 minutes, 1 minute warning. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Tom. Can you hear me?
Yes, thanks.
Thank you. My name is Roger, and I'm a debtor, and I'm in the Greater Toronto Area. And I am an ISR, which is an intergroup service representative at the World Service Conference, and I'm just finishing my first year in this role. Before I start speaking about the intergroup caucus, I'm going to give a definition of what an intergroup is. So the intergroup is a local or regional organization that supports and is supported by the area DA groups. And intergroup provides services to newcomers, members, and groups, which may include a hotline or voicemail, email, area meeting lists, often a website, and sponsoring special events, such as share days or retreats. Together, intergroups can accomplish what individual groups could not do separately. And so in many respects, intergroups are a unification of smaller DA groups, traditionally in a particular geographical area or region. So every intergroup can also send an ISR to the World Service Conference, as every group can send a GSR. So in terms of the intergroup caucus, the intergroup caucus is composed primarily of ISRs, but also includes GSRs who have experience with their local intergroups. And the main function of this caucus is to create tools, resources, and a better understanding of the role of an intergroup in the overall organizational structure of DA. And the intergroup caucus helps support both new and existing intergroups. And the intergroup caucus also contributes to the efforts to regionalize DA. So our caucus was a small one. We have 5 active members, and we meet monthly, and we've also had a couple of World Service telephone calls speaking about issues regarding intergroups. Now, with the pandemic situation, it kind of turned things upside down very quickly, and intergroups have really stepped up to be able to help spread the message that there is help for the debtor who still suffers, and also to connect with groups. So in many cases, intergroups are the ones who took out a subscription with Zoom, for instance, to be able to have a number of meetings, have the platform to be able to exist in a virtual world. The intergroups, I'll speak a little bit more about our Toronto intergroup, in that some of the additional areas that we've recently taken on are the distribution of literature for individuals and small groups in Canada because of the challenges that we've experienced in importing literature from the United States. And particularly with the pandemic situation, it's become much harder. So our intergroup had the financial resources to be able to buy titles in bulk at a smaller discount. And so we're now providing that service, because all of our groups here have lost our literature because it's currently still in lockdown. Intergroups often reach out to public information requests. So personally, I've spoken with various media, whether it's print or television or radio, and often intergroups are the ones who receive these requests from individual groups or through their websites. So we tend to have people who are more experienced in DA for the most part. They've been around for a while, and they are able to speak from a solvent perspective and to be able to provide the service to the larger communities. One of the actions that we undertook this past year, was to look at a survey and trying to connect with intergroups worldwide and try to unite them. And so we did a reach out to all the intergroups that we could find, and some responded to us. And we realized that one of the big areas is that intergroup websites sometimes contain information that's different than the worldwide DA website in terms of meetings and times. However, with the TechCom introducing a new website this year, that has helped tremendously in order to be able to identify the various intergroups. So one
Hi, Roger. Yeah, I think that's time if you want to wrap up.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, that was 1 minute. Okay. So, so intergroups are an integral part of spreading the message, and we certainly look forward to new ISRs or GSRs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger. And our next speaker is Lolly from Los Angeles. Lolly is the chair of the WSC Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus. Lolly, you have 4 minutes, 1 minute warning. Are you there?
Yes, thanks, Tom. Can I be heard?
Yep. Yes, thanks.
Great. Hi, I'm Lolly. I'm a debtor and chair of the SSEC, Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus. And that's Lolly with an L. I welcome any questions if you have any for me during the question section. So the SSEC members have been committed and creative and have worked hard this year to uphold our mission, which is the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus serves to support the DA Fellowship in gaining clarity around issues of earning in the DA program. Our vision is to broaden the fellowship-wide understanding of how spiritually sustainable earning fits into DA recovery, encouraging a comprehensive and spiritual approach by working the 12 steps and using the tools of Debtors Anonymous. So this year, we wound up with 8 members plus our GSB liaisons. We lost a few members, as does happen. And I have the privilege of having my last year as chair. Vice chair was Roger. Treasurer was Janine. Members Alexia, Ed, Jean, Peter, Susan, all have done an exemplary service. And our liaison, Bill D. What a pleasure to work with this group. So we had 3 fellowship-wide calls that we hosted 4 months apart. The first one was Bringing Balance to Our Spiritually Sustainable Earnings. That was in October. We also hosted a roundtable discussion, What Does Spiritually Sustainable Earning Mean to You? And then finally, Earning During Changing Times, Rock and Roll and Earn in June recently. Great calls, very successful. In fact, there was one emphatic sharer on our most recent call who actually reached out to me through email and said, I was a GSR and originally I spoke against the formation of this caucus, and I am wrong and I'm happy to admit it, and thank you for this wonderful service you're doing. So that was kind of a nice little pat on the back, I think, for our caucus. So moving on. In the 3 years since the inception of this caucus, SSCC members have explored the question, what is spiritually sustainable earning? And the answer may encompass a combination of several elements. I'm going to read you some definitions. And I do want to say that members of this caucus have had the pleasure of participating on the Earning Pamphlet Subcommittee with members of LitCom. So we are liaising and joining forces to offer any service we can. And that's hosted by Jill. And so together we created an outline, which will soon be submitted to the Literature Committee. And going back to what is spiritually sustainable earning, I'm just going to read these for you. For some, spiritually sustainable earning is producing an income in alignment with their higher power's will while being of service to others. Another definition, a combination of elements including the commitment to being of service through earning, taking actions toward our vision, multiple streams of income, a saving plan, work-life balance, earning abundantly doing what we love, progress, not perfection, God is my employer. Another, the willingness and commitment to earn according to our higher power's will for us while continuing to take actions toward our vision. Another, I receive an abundant income doing what I love while being my true self in alignment with HP's will. Earning that helps to sustain your spirit, mind, emotions, and body, bringing a greater sense of work-life balance. It is the type of earning we were called to have a happy, joyful, and free life for ourselves, doing HP's will in our lives, and for helping others to do their HP's will in their lives. And finally, we came to believe that our higher power is our employer. With the idea of a new employer, there is now a pathway to an abundant life filled with integrity, thanks, and I'll wrap up, prosperity and joy. The feeling of lack is diminishing. Starting to have the sense of enough money, time, love, and joy. Have an understanding that we are imperfect people. We work the program to the best of our abilities. We have a belief of being spiritually connected to our source. Spiritually sustainable earning could be a new tool for recovery on a sustainable level with our earning in VA. And thanks for allowing me to be of service on this wonderful caucus. If you have any questions, my name is Lolly, and I pass.
Great. Thanks, Lolly. And our third caucus and final caucus is chaired by Kathleen from Los Angeles. And this is the WSC Underserved and Underrepresented Caucus, Outreach Caucus. And Kathleen, you have 4 minutes, 1 minute warning. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Great. Yes, thanks.
Great. Okay, thank you. Hi, I'm Kathleen. Very grateful, debtor, and it's been an honor to be the chair of the Underserved and Underrepresented Outreach Caucus. I'll just read you the mission statement. The mission of the Underserved and Underrepresented Outreach Caucus is to support the fellowship in carrying the message of Debtors Anonymous to the debtor in underserved populations and locations. We coordinate with World Service Conference committees and caucuses by developing best practices for doing that work and sharing it with VA as a whole. And so that is our mission, and we have a great caucus. There's like 10 of us, and I'll just mention some of the things that we have been able to do and move forward this past year. We received a literature grant from the World Service Board, and we have been using that. We are going to be using that literature to reach out to other countries where there are few meetings, like Kenya, New Zealand, South America, Canada. I realize South America is not a country; it's an entire continent, but just there are many countries that we're going to get literature to, and various places in the United States as well. We sat down and brainstormed. We said, why are we all here? Why are we moved to be on this caucus? What are we passionate about? And then we brainstormed on things to move forward and take on. And one person had suggested writing a letter to Alcoholics Anonymous. And we did it in the sense of Alcoholics Anonymous is so very solidly established all over the world, and Debtors Anonymous is not. Many people have never heard of us. So we drafted a letter, and then it was approved and tweaked by members of the board, and it was hand-delivered by a member of our board to a member of AA. And it was like introducing us, or in cases, reintroducing us to Alcoholics Anonymous, depending on, you know, if they'd known of us or not. And it was a great letter, and in response to that letter, we were invited for the first time in the history of Debtors Anonymous to have a presence at an AA convention in Detroit, which unfortunately was canceled due to COVID. We would have been doing that next month. But the relationship is there. The letter exists. We're using it, and there will be more movement in the future. But that was really significant. And we were doing that in a way that to help DA carry the message, you know, to alcoholics all over the world and to reach people in, you know, 12-step programs too. We're also curating the issue of Ways and Means in August. And all of the stories that you read will be different members. It's kind of like the many faces of DA. It's people of different, sexual orientation, different groups of different ethnicities, age. Okay, thank you. We also have a phone call coming up where we're going to have speakers, a podcast of diversity. We also have... there's so many great things we've been able to do. We're supporting new meetings through Zoom we're supporting a new meeting that just started on a small island in New Zealand, and members of our caucus have been on that meeting. I've been on that meeting, and it was powerful to take it to places where they don't normally get very many meetings from DA, and we're using Zoom to help with that and to see how we can support meetings and help them stay strong and keep going after this. And also working with other, like we've been working a great deal with the FCC and some with the International Caucus to try to work together to reach people. I'll just say this real quick. Underserved and underrepresented. Underserved is for areas that are maybe don't have as many meetings. Underrepresented may be the faces in DA that maybe don't have as much visibility and representation. So between them all, we cover amazing things. And it's a powerful thing to be part of, especially with what's going on in the world right now. Thank you very much. We hope to see you on the caucus.
Great. Thank you, Kathleen. So everyone, that's our 10 committees and 3 caucuses. We have one more speaker. But I just want to say, you can see it's a lot of work. Everyone here is a volunteer. And your GSRs and ISRs who serve as chairs and the members of these WSC committees and caucuses are literally doing the work to keep DA running at the world level and to reach the DA, the debtor who still suffers. So mad props, total gratitude for everyone who does service at the world level. Okay, so our final speaker is Michaeline, and she's a member of the conference support committee at the board level, and she's also chair of the entire General Service Board, and she will be moderating the upcoming conference. And she's going to talk just a little bit about delegate responsibilities as far as committees and caucuses are concerned. Michaeline, you have 3 minutes with a one-minute warning. You have 4 minutes with a one-minute warning. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me, Tom?
Yes, thanks.
Okay, great. Good day, everyone. My name is Michaeline, and I am a friend of DA and a Class B non-debtor trustee. I hope you've been inspired and excited after hearing about the opportunities you have to serve on a committee and perhaps additionally on a caucus if you so choose. This is how the work of the World Service Conference is completed throughout the year. These committees carry the message, work on literature, and find new and work on existing ways to carry the message of Debtors Anonymous wherever it may be needed. Because of the need to have our conference on Zoom this year, we've had to make a few changes. For those who are coming to the World Service Conference for the first time, I just say, please be sure to choose a committee when you decide to register for the conference. It will be critical because members will receive the information on how to join in on their committees and caucuses, but you will not be receiving the information for all the other committees. For returning GSRs and ISRs, this is a different way to do things, but for this year, it is a necessary thing. This recording will be out on the website very quickly. Feel free to review it and listen to what all the committees do. See where your passion and talents lie. Whatever committee you choose will be your assignment for the entire conference year, so choose wisely. But please choose. This is how you represent your group and ensure that the needs of all members are heard. And one reminder, which was given earlier, but I'll give it again, the extension for applying for the John H. Scholarship ends at midnight tonight. So please submit your application if you have one. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Michaeline. And for those listening who are delegates, we look forward to seeing you at the World Service Conference on Zoom. And for anyone who is considering World Service, we hope this will give you more information about someday serving at that level. We have one more pre-conference orientation call on Saturday, July 25th, and that will provide an overview of serving as a delegate to the World Service Conference. So now I'm going to stop the recording and we